Let's continue our talks from Nehemiah by looking at Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Here we see some further strategy of the enemy to stop the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. Our adversaries said, 'They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease.' So it was, when the Jews who dwelt near them came, that they told us 10 times, 'From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us.'" Some background notes. It seemed that nothing could stop the Jews from completing the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. Operation Wall had begun when Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem from Persia in about 445 BC. Up to this point, Nehemiah had been employed in the Persian government, but as a Jew, he was vitally concerned about the welfare of his people. The fact that the wall around Jerusalem had been in ruins for so long was of great concern to Nehemiah. He knew that God wanted Jerusalem, the city of God's temple, to be a strong city. And so Nehemiah returned and motivated the people to start rebuilding the wall. Under Nehemiah's able leadership, the wall is being rebuilt, and it seems that nothing can stop it. The enemy surrounding Judah had tried everything to get the work stopped. We've seen that they tried scorn and ridicule, but that didn't stop the work. We've seen that they tried open threat, but that didn't stop the wall building. We've seen that they tried to cause disruption, confusion, but that didn't stop the wall building. So as we come to this section that we've just read, the wall is half up, but now a different problem arises. The people become discouraged, and they begin to doubt their ability to finish the job. Verse 10 that we read here is really in the form of a Hebrew poem. It's apparently a song or a dirge that they began to sing as they labored on the wall. Verse 10, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." Now, this defeatist attitude continued and even increased as details of the enemy's plan of attack became known by the Jews. The people are running scared, and this further adds to the snowball of defeatism. It's at this point that Nehemiah once again makes the difference, as he takes action to turn the situation around. But at this point, you can see that the people are running scared. It looks like the rebuilding of the wall may come to a complete halt, but Nehemiah, great leader that he is, once again takes action, and he makes the difference. So much for background notes. Let's move then to doctrinal points. One doctrinal point, but it's a long one. Discouragement and doubt are part of Satan's strategy to defeat us. That's certainly what the Bible teaches. That's what we mean by doctrinal points. What does the Bible teach? What is the Bible teaching us from this passage? Certainly this is one point. Discouragement and doubt are part of Satan's strategy to defeat us. Remember that the opposition to the building of the wall, as recorded in the book of Nehemiah, is an illustration or picture of the opposition we experience in spiritual wall building. Remember, God wants us to be strong and stable Christians. That's what spiritual wall building is all about. A mature Christian has well-built spiritual walls. But it's not easy. There is going to be opposition. It's going to be work. And if Satan can't stop us with scorn and ridicule or threat, he'll try to get his foot in the door in any way he can. And certainly one of the ways is discouragement and doubt. That's certainly part of his strategy. And we see that illustrated right here. Notice in verse 10 that they're discouraged and the reason is given. "The strength of the laborers is failing and there's so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." They're discouraged and they begin to doubt their ability to complete the wall. They begin to doubt God's ability to help them rebuild the wall. They're exhausted, and there's still a long way to go. The wall is only half up, and there's so much rubbish around. Do you see what God's word is teaching us here? Spiritual wall building is not easy. We can become easily discouraged, especially when we see how much work still needs to be done, how much rubbish is still around. When we think of the work that needs to be done, the work of studying Scripture, the labor of prayer, the work involved in serving others, the labor of Christian service. It's work. It's hard. And there's always rubbish around that needs to be cleared away. Spending too much time in TV, too many things we own and we got to care for, too much fun and games and partying. So it's hard work, and there's a lot of rubbish that needs to be cleared away. It's not easy to clear away rubbish and get our act together. It's not easy to labor in these things like studying Scripture and prayer and serving others. There certainly is joy in it, and there's certainly joy in clearing away the rubbish, but it's not easy. It's work. It's labor. And many Christians get discouraged when they see how much work is involved in spiritual wall building and how much rubbish needs to be cleared away in spiritual wall building. Furthermore, we see here that fear is also a factor contributing to the defeatism. Look at verse 11. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. In verse 11, we read here that the details of the planned enemy attack are becoming known and spreading among the people, and that people are scared. In verse 12, we see that it was the Jews who lived outside the walls and closer to the enemy that were especially spreading this fear. Look at verse 12 again. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them, dwelt near the enemy, came, that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. So these people that are outside the wall, closer to the enemy camp, they're the ones that seem to be spreading the fear the most. Well, maybe they should have been inside the walls. Perhaps there's a spiritual lesson here. The closer we are to the enemy camp, the harder it is to live courageously by faith. The easier it is for fear to come in and cause us to doubt. In any case, fear will cause us to doubt God, doubt His promises, doubt His power. You remember when Israel doubted God's promise and power to bring them into the land? You go back to Numbers chapter 13, and we read there that they saw the giants, and they feared, and they showed unbelief and doubt. It says in Numbers 13, verse 33, that they saw themselves as grasshoppers. When they saw the giants, they saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight. Not God's sight, their own sight. From God's perspective, what difference does it make, a giant or a grasshopper? Looking down from heaven, you know, no difference. But you see, when we take the grasshopper perspective, then we see the enemy as giants. So here we see a combination of exhaustion and fear and a lot of rubbish from the ruined walls, all contributing to discouragement and doubt, and almost leading here to defeat. You know, why is it that the enemy always looks bigger from our perspective? You ever play football? Some of you probably have been involved in football. Why does the opposition always look so much bigger? And that instills fear and doubt. Oh, we can't win the game. Fear of the unknown also contributes to doubt and thus to defeatism. They didn't know where the enemy was going to attack, what they were going to do next. So all this combined, this exhaustion, this fatigue, this fear, the rubbish that needs to be cleared away from the ruined walls, it all combines to contribute to the discouragement and doubt that almost leads to defeat. Well, in the same way, discouragement and doubt are part of Satan's strategy to defeat us. That's our doctrinal point. Discouragement and doubt are part of Satan's strategy to defeat us. But the people here, praise the Lord, did not end up defeated, because once again, Nehemiah stepped in to save the day, and we'll see that his actions throughout the rest of the chapter are really principles of victory to be used in spiritual warfare today. But right now, let's go to our practical application. Two practical applications. Number one, don't be defeated by the D-darts of Satan. Don't be defeated by the D-darts of Satan. What do we mean there? Well, in Ephesians 6, verse 16, we read that we're to take up the shield of faith, in order to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, what are these flaming missiles or darts? Well, there's a lot of them, but let's talk about this category that we're calling the D darts. That's what we've been talking about here. Discouragement and doubt. We could add some more. Despair, demoralization, dejection. How do we keep from being defeated by the D darts of Satan? Well, what does the verse say there in Ephesians 6:16? It's our faith, the shield of faith. The shield of faith is not saving faith, but living by faith, as Nehemiah did. There's a lot of ways that this could be applied, but let's apply it to the factors that we've seen in our verses tonight that led to the discouragement and doubt. There in verse 10, exhaustion and fatigue. They're facing burnout. Where does faith come in here? Well, you can be sure that God will always give you the strength you need for whatever job He calls you to do, whether it's building physical walls or spiritual walls. It may seem like an insurmountable task, but the Lord will enable us. We must believe that by faith, the job can be accomplished. It really is true. Furthermore, we see that it's by faith that we get our act together and clear the rubbish away. Clean house. The more we live by faith and believe that only what's done for Christ is going to really count in the end, the less problems we're going to have with too much TV or too many material things or too much party time. The more we live by faith, the less these things will be a problem. And of course, the fear that we see there in verse 12, this certainly contributed to the doubt and defeatist attitude. This also is overcome by faith. If they had had more faith, they would have realized that God is an all-powerful God, and He was on their side, and no one could defeat them. Well, in the same way, without faith, we doubt and we're defeated. With faith, we see that the odds are always in our favor. One plus God is a majority. By faith, the enemy does not appear as a giant. By faith, we're the giants, and they are the grasshoppers. If we walk more by faith, we will not be defeated by the D-darts of Satan. Well, let's see if we can squeeze in this second practical application. Remember that the halfway point is critical. At this point, we know from verse 6 that the wall is half up. You might think that there would be no chance for discouragement and doubt, and yet it happened. It even started with Judah, a most notable tribe whose emblem was the lion. Well, don't be surprised if it happens in our lives too. The halfway point is always critical. You ever notice when you're trying to climb a mountain or clean a garage or go on a trip, the halfway point is critical. In the one sense, hey, we're half there. Great. But on the other side of the coin, oh, we're only halfway. It's only half done. Still so much to do. Same is true in spiritual wall building. Halfway point is critical. You can be encouraged and motivated to go on and continue to build the spiritual walls in your own life, in your family life, in the church or ministry with which you are connected. But remember that that halfway point is critical. Don't get discouraged. Christian life is hard. A lot to do. We always feel like beginners. More needs to be done in our lives, in our family lives, in our church. But remember, the halfway point is critical. Keep building.